Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Crusader Talk here on this Monday. Glad to have you with us for yet another summer spectacular of Crusader Athletics Talk. Caleb Hamill, Josh West with you as we count down the days until we're ready to have live action back at our different venues at William Carey University. And we're happy to have you along with us because we're not just talking about action that's happened in the past or just looking ahead. We're talking about championship type action. We're talking about championship athletes to start off the day. And what better way to do it, Josh, than to recap a little bit of what we talked about last week, but with the man who helped make it happen is Coach Ryan McKenzie of William Carey's track and field joins us. Coach, thanks for stopping by the studio today.
Thank you guys for having me, as always.
Man, it is a privilege to have you here and a privilege to talk about, you know, what a great program you've got. We've mentioned it before, especially back during indoor season, a bit of a preview before outdoor went to, I believe, the SSAC tournament was the last time we may have spoken. But, boy, just every time you look back around at what this team has done, and every time we look back and we're saying, oh, there's another individual champion. Oh, there's another one making headlines. There's another one that's setting records here. And you look at what people like, obviously, Mikayla Linton stands out. Always, what number championship do we say it was? Sixth individual championship she's gotten in her Carey career?
Sixth individual.
Yeah, sixth individual in the NAIA National Championships of outdoor most recently. And how do you, one, get these people to campus, and two, build them up to their full potential to where they're competing at this level?
Well, actually, the getting them on campus part is something sometimes rather easy if you built it. You know the saying, if you build it, they'll come. So with the process of recruiting now, it's so virtual and online and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of these things. So I like to look at it like, if you build it, they will come. So once they see that you're doing well, especially if you have someone from their country or from their area or from their state, they also want to tune in and see what's going on there. So they normally reach out, and we begin to talk about it.
I was about to ask, is it more of them reaching out to you because they know about the success Carey has, or is it a little bit of a tug and pull both ways?
It kind of goes both ways, but often we do get reached out to as well.
What is the best recruiting tool that you have in your arsenal now, with so many different ways to promote the program? What's been the best tool for you?
Social media. Social media has been the best tool. We try to stay up on social media, try to post a lot, and normally we'll get inboxes from kids, or they're contact us on WhatsApp and those things of that nature. So social media has been a really, really, really big tool.
Well, and then with, you know, so many just personalities, especially with, like you said, so many different countries, so many different backgrounds on a team, how much do you get the free publicity of the kids being able to have personalities and have followings and have, you know, all the stuff that they post? So many want to be influencers these days. And then also, how do you police that?
Well, see,
with
now,
all the stuff
now,
that's
now,
out there.
Now that is becoming more something that that I can't really police as much, because, you know, I'm the big bad wolf. I'm coach, so I normally could see a lot of things they were posting, but now they have me rather blocked on certain things, so I really can't see what they're posting nowadays. But oftentimes they will come to me and say, hey, coach, I have a friend or have a family member or I have somebody from my country or from my state that would like to talk to you, and they'll let me know.
Very good there. And you talk about the social media presence that you have. I saw earlier this week you posted a big video recapping the national championship run for William Carey, all the different highlights and different runs for different athletes. It's pretty awesome, the content y'all are pumping out there. I think y'all do it better than any other athletics group on our campus.
Well, I thank you for that. We try to make sure that we're putting that information out, and we have a few athletes on the team that really, really like taking pictures and videos, and they get together and they get it going.
That's what I was going to say, in terms of capturing these very up close, in the huddle, you know, in the blocks, stretching, warming up, those type of kind of, you know, pregame routine type things that have really become hype videos, if you will. Is that something that the team is just kind of taking on the role themselves?
Well, yeah. I do have one athlete named Jackson Former. He really, really loves it. So he's one of the main ones that jumps out there and does that stuff. But they like to record each other. And when I see them recording each other, hey, we get those videos together and try to pump them out there so we can let everybody see what we're doing.
Yeah, it works. It really does. And anytime you can generate that hype and get things out there, it'll catch fire. Sometimes the right person sees it, having never heard of William Carey or never really known they had a big track and field team going on, and then all of a sudden that seed has been planted. And then you're getting all kinds of different people reaching out. It's worked wonders already. All right, let's talk about some individual athletes and their performances, not just the national championship, but we'll get to some of the bigger headlines here in just a second. Obviously, Makeda Linton, we've talked about her. She stood out, setting another national championship, too, actually, in that trip out to the NAIA championships. Had the triple jump title as well as repeating in, what was it, a long jump, other? But also you had other good performances as well. She was not the only individual national champion.
Right. We had Celisi Miles. And Celisi sometimes flies under the radar because of her personality. But she's probably one of the bigger performers of this national championship. She just broke her own record in the 100-meter hurdles. And she holds the record also in the 60-meter hurdle. So she is the national record holder indoor and outdoor in that event. But she kind of lays back a little bit, and she's not too much in the camera a lot. So she doesn't get as much attention as some of them do.
Now, one thing for William Carey as a team, we'll talk, you know, first women's track and field and then kind of move over to the men's side. Second place finish in both indoor and outdoor. Different team at the top, I believe it was, for indoor and outdoor that outpaced William
Carey. So that's a little different. Indoor, our main competition normally is Indiana Tech. They do well. And we have other teams as well, not to count anyone out. Outdoor is British Columbia. British Columbia, they don't have an indoor team. So that's why they always pop up outdoor. And they come with numbers. From what I understand, they have an enrollment of 60,000 in Canada. So they come down with a lot of race walkers, a lot of distance. And we're coming from the south with a lot of sprints and a lot of jumps. So kind of cancel each other out. Their numbers are just bigger than ours. Also, I did forget to mention a few more national champions. We had Joy Abu in the 100, the 100-meter, of course. We had Barnabas Agar in the 100. We also had 4x1 women, which is huge. Our 4x1 women broke the national record that stood 36 years. So they broke a big, big record that was there for a while.
Speaking of distance runners, when I cover track and field at the high school level, I see a lot of 7th graders, 8th graders, 9th graders in those distance races. I don't see a lot of upperclassmen in those races. Are the numbers smaller to recruit in terms of upperclassmen in some of those distance events? And do you find that just where you're going for your sprinters and your jumpers, you run out of time almost to try to build out? Or how are you looking at filling it out and growing the numbers?
Well, that distance in sprints is a big difference with the recruiting in the South.
Oh, absolutely.
Sprinters love the South. Distance, not so much.
Sure.
So most of our distance bulk is normally in the Southern states. So we recruit heavy in the Southern states, Mississippi, Alabama, across the board, in Louisiana, for our distance. Because it's hard to get a Midwest kid to come down to Mississippi and run in this humidity. So that's kind of
Can't imagine why.
That's the big thing right there. So that's the thing that we're challenging up against right now.
So let's kind of talk about Barnabas. I feel like he's the one garnering all the headlines right now. You mentioned his performance in the national championship, but he is going to be representing his country in the Paris Olympics coming up. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, Barnabas had an outstanding breakout meet to where he broke the national record as well in the 100 meters. The record was originally 10.08 seconds. He ran it in 0.01. And he was this close to running a 9.
Yeah.
So with that time, his country called, and he's going to represent them in the 4x1. He won't be running any open events, but he will run on their relay.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's not every day that you get an athlete from William Carey getting to run in the Paris Olympics or wherever the Olympics are in that given year. And I'm sure I'm forgetting people of the past. I'm sure there have been other athletes, but it's pretty awesome to get to have an ambassador for your program representing you on a national stage like that.
Yes, that's great. Look, the first thing, I'm just proud of him. He puts in a lot of work. He's a humble guy. He does anything and everything you ask him to do, so I'm proud of him for that. So, you know, that kind of work and that kind of work ethic and that kind of heart, you're bound to be successful, you know?
You know, I was talking with Kevin Rosier, SID at William Carey, the other day, and found out that I believe it's track and field that has the last team national championship at our university, 2020. In the indoor season it was?
Yep. Yeah, indoor nationals 2020. And we've been on the podium with the ladies the last nine championships. So we have, we're sitting there with six second places and like two third places. So we've been right there, but we just can't get over that hump on the ladies.
So is William Carey Indoor Track and Field going to be the next national championship team?
It's coming.
It's coming. It's going to be
coming for someone.
It's a tight race between Coach McKenzie and Coach Owens or Coach Farrell. I feel like it, the upcoming sports, there's a good chance one of those is going to come through.
I think we're all going to get it.
Hey, go, there you go.
Go Crusaders. We're going to get it. All three of us.
It's a group family thing. Well, Coach McKenzie, thanks so much for joining us here in studio today. We appreciate the conversation. We're cheering you guys on continually through not just indoor and outdoor season, but the recruitment and everything along the way. Also, we're going to be cheering on Barnabas in the Olympics.
Thank you guys for having me. Once again, go Crusaders. Let's go.
All right, that is Coach Ryan McKenzie, head coach of men's and women's track and field at William Carey University. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of soccer as we look forward to the upcoming seasons and also things going around the country this summer. A lot of athletes to talk about. A whole lot of individuals we get to discuss today on the program. More Crusader Talk coming up next.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, more Crusader Talk for you. Appreciate our guest last segment. Talking a lot of individuals at William Carey that have been so fantastic as of late. Such a great university to be a part of, and so cool that we can get athletes like Mikayla Linton, like Barnabas Agger in here. I mean, just Joya Booz, Salisi Miles, all of those track athletes, and even individuals on the soccer field as well that we've gotten the pleasure of covering lately.
There's a lot of programs at higher levels and at different parts of the country that don't have Olympians. It's impressive.
And thinking about what William Carey has done recently as far as individuals, you're talking about Barnabas first, as far as what Coach McKenzie told us after we left that segment, he said that that is our first Olympian that he's aware of coming from the university. And then earlier this year, we had R.J. Stinson, first ever William Carey representative for the Boo Ferris Award, first finalist ever for that. And so we're setting a lot of firsts, and I don't think this athletics program is even close to peaking.
Oh, not at all, because everybody's kind of bumping into that glass ceiling right now, ready to break through into the national championship realm, and that is so, so close.
Yeah, one of those sports that we were talking about trying to break through that glass ceiling is women's soccer, as well as men's soccer. We got one of our soccer experts on the line right now. Clayton Rush joins us. And Clayton, are you still recovering from that mission trip to Dominican Republic?
I am. When you land in New Orleans, I don't even remember when I landed in New Orleans, but my head hit the pillow at 1 a.m. last night. So I'm here, but I'm struggling, guys.
well, I hope you'll make it through with us. All right, first of all, just on a personal note, tell us a little bit about what you were able to do over there.
Yeah. So we did some great work through an organization called Global Effect, a friend of mine who's here in town that works for that organization. We went to La Vega in the Dominican Republic, and we did a little bit of humanitarian aid with some water filters as the water supply down there is not potable, and so just giving some folks the ability to have clean drinking water, but also, you know, spreading the love of Jesus and sharing the gospel with those folks, and then doing some kids activities in the afternoon. So I had a great time.
That's awesome. How was the heat down there?
Whew, it never stops. At least gets a little bit cooler here at night, but if you can imagine 3 o'clock in the afternoon here in Mississippi, it's just about like that around the clock.
Yeah. Been a while since I went down there. It was, I think, 2013. So it's been a little over a decade, but I remember it being hot down there. And I was there in like mid-spring, so it wasn't nearly what you were able to experience. All right, let's talk about soccer. And Clayton, I'm surprised, I think, every year that I get to look at this roster of players playing summer ball. whether it be in leagues around the states or even on international teams. What stood out to you so far?
Yeah, you look at really, I guess we can start with the women's side. We'll talk about both. But, you know, when you look at the women's team and knowing that the season that they had last year, you know, coming up just short in that national championship match, but really being the best team in the country all year long, you get these players the opportunity to play this summer in leagues like the Gulf Coast Premier League. That's a regional league, but it's kind of the equivalent for any listeners who, you know, might know more about like the wooden bat leagues that go on in the summer for college baseball players. It's similar to that. And so on the women's side, there's a league like the Gulf Coast Premier League. And Hattiesburg's got a team. And so they're coached by Tom Dos Anjos, who we're very familiar with around Cary. And he's got not only some William Cary players on that team, but he's got Division One, Division Two players from all across the country. You know, players like Gracie Fowler, the SEC Defender of the Year for the University of South Carolina, and Kendall Terrell, a local Hattiesburg product that comes from Jackson State. You know, Division One players that are very, very talented. And then you mix in players like Maddie Davis and Lauren Jones, to you know, name a couple that you know have played huge roles for Danny and his squad in the last couple of years. You know, Karen Villal, Ella Jeffcoat, Alicia Davis, to name a few. Newcomer Argentina Estrada has been playing this summer as well. She was a redshirt freshman last year, so she has not seen game time for Cary, but has played really important minutes. And so, yeah, it's been really fun to watch all of these Cary players mix it up with some really, really top talent from around the country.
What do you think is the most surprising? I used that word earlier. What do you think is something that people out there may not expect to see if they ever came out to a Hattiesburg Football Club match that is a little bit different from your average college game?
Yeah, I think the level of competitiveness for sure. You know, you look at this Gulf Coast Premier League, and this is the best of the best players coming either back to their hometowns or players, international players that play for local universities within these schools. So you're getting the best of the best that are playing summer ball. And so you've got a team in the Lafayette, Louisiana area with, you know, University of Lafayette and McNeese State Division I programs feeding those summer league teams. You've got a team in Clinton, Mississippi that's being fed by Jackson State, by all those Division II schools in the Jackson area. And so, yeah, I think the most surprising thing about that is that, or really not surprising to me and to us, of course, is that, you know, the William Cary players, you know, they don't take a backseat. They're right in the mix. They're playing. They're getting minutes. They're contributing. They're scoring goals and showing that, you know, they belong on the biggest stage with the biggest players.
Clayton, good to talk to you again. It's been a couple of days since you were heading out of town, and, you know, you jinxed them on the way out of town with the ladies. You didn't think this was going to be a ladies' squad that was going to lose a match, and they hit a rough stretch of about 5 minutes and give up four goals.
Yeah,
and drop and fall 5-4, run out of time late. But talking to Tom Dos Anjos, the head coach of the ladies, feeling like that's going to be a match that really wakes that team up and lights a fire, maybe a little bit of distraction in terms of just so much going on during the summer, needing some downtime, maybe mentally a little burnout. That'll certainly be a match that refocuses that team.
Yeah, for sure. Wake up call. You know, Mississippi Blues, the team that they so what you're referring to being a game that they played the other day against Mississippi Blues, the league runner-up from last year. They beat Mississippi Blues in the championship, HFC did. And so, yeah, wake-up call for sure, because, you know, those are kind of those top two teams in the GCPL. And, yeah, it's just like we've seen in William Cary games. When you lose focus for 5, 10, 15-minute stretches, the best players on the field will make you pay for it. And that's what you saw with Mississippi Blues. And then, yeah, like you said, just running out of time to be able to make the comeback.
All right, Clayton, let's turn our attention to the men's side of things and guys that are playing this summer. I know that you had a chance to go out there and teach those boys how to get ready for summer ball whenever you had that alumni set of games. But what things stood out to you as far as what you saw back then, but more importantly, what you've seen so far in summer league?
Yeah, you know, talking to Coach Farrell before school let out, you know, the guys had a really great spring, and they were able to bring in a couple players this spring, actually, to kind of get them some time with the team before the fall starts. But then you get into summer ball, and you look at, you know, all there's a few more leagues on the men's side kind of across the country, and so you've still got regional leagues like the Gulf Coast Premier League, the NPSL, but then you've got these national leagues like the USL League 2 that's in the American Soccer Pyramid, and a few teams from that league get the opportunity to compete in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, which is a professional tournament. And so really you kind of see the same thing there. You see the Cary guys mixing it up with the best of the best players, with the Division I players, with the Division II players from all across the country. And you look at players like Kevin McConnell, like Jamie Wynn, you know, two of the really, really linchpins in Cary's squad right now, mixing it up with the Little Rock Rangers, who won their division last year in USL League II. You've got players like Andreas Kokoska that's starting in Buffalo, New York for FC Buffalo, really far away from Hattiesburg, obviously, but getting a ton of really great game time. And so I think, you know, maybe not, maybe it's less surprising and more of just what you expect from a team as talented as Coach Farrell's.
I just have to say it anytime we bring up Kevin McConnell.
Oh, Kevin. The boys. Yeah, Jack Greenwood coming back. You didn't even mention Jack back.
Yeah, so Jack's not playing this summer. I got a chance to see Jack at homecoming, and he did have to have another surgery. But Jack is back. He's running it back, and so he's resting up this summer. He's healing up. He played for the New Orleans Jesters last year, and so you'll see on the New Orleans Jesters this year Roberto Rangel mixing it up with alums like Jair Arida that we saw last year, as well as Joaquin Suarez. And so, yeah, really, really talented team that they've got down there in New Orleans that Rangel's playing for.
Who would you say are the biggest alums, whether it be women's soccer or men's soccer, that are playing at a high level, either this summer or with the Olympics or national teams out there? Who are probably the biggest names that you would say?
For sure, you know, on the women's side, you've got Ana Paula Santos, National Player of the Year two times. She's still playing professional. Mary Angela Jimenez is going to be with the Venezuelan women's national team this summer, as well as alums like Veronica Herrera and Camila Pescator. On the men's side, maybe a little bit more recently, you've got players like Diego Navia, who's looking to get a professional contract, and players like Joaquin Suarez that came through Cary and is now doing really great things at the Division I level. And you've got some players in the past like Michael, and I'm going to forget how to say his last name, but Michael Connor Rojos, that's playing professionally in Spain right now. So you've got players on both sides that are playing professionally in Europe.
We'd love to hear about it. Clayton, we're going to let you rest up and enjoy the rest of your evening. I know you're excited to be back with family after being a long time away.
He didn't sound tired. He sounded prepared. Rested
Absolutely.
And ready.
We'll, yeah, we'll be able to talk more for sure because HFC has a great squad as well, and we didn't even get a chance to cover them, so we'll get a chance to do that soon, hopefully.
Hey, by the way, quickly, for all the HFC coverage that's out there, tell people how you can stay tuned into that. Just about 10 seconds.
Yeah, follow HFC on Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I got some great games coming up, and they're right in the mix still, so keep an eye out for them.
Hey, and also listen to the HFC Extra Time podcast.
And Extra Time HFC, thank you.
Yeah. All right, thanks so much, Clayton. We'll see you around the bend. Coming up next, Josh and I will be back with you here in studio to talk more William Cary Athletics on Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back here, more Crusader Talk here with you on this Monday edition. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, not Will Tony in the studio today. I have to welcome back a familiar face to Super Talk Hattiesburg to the studio. Dalton Stanford returns. Welcome back, my friend. Long journey, but we're happy to have you back here in Hattiesburg.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back, you know, back in the saddle here in the old Hattiesburg studio. It's been a few years. Bounced from here to WLOX on the coast for a couple years, and spent a little time in Texas for a couple years, but as most things, you always find a way to come back to your stomping grounds at some point.
There you go. Hey, also cool, both Will and Dalton, Cary alums.
That's right.
We like Very to keep cool. it in the family.
Yeah. I've been adopted into the family.
Yeah, me too. It's all about, you know, welcoming in new faces to the family. It's all about what, you know, Christianity is about, too.
That's right.
You're being adopted into the family of God as well. We adopt you into the Cary family. All right. So, good conversations today. Talking about, you know, national figureheads as far as representatives for William Cary University. I'm fascinated by all the different people that we've gotten to welcome in over the years. You see Clayton talking about people like Ana Paula Santos, a couple others that are making headlines from a national perspective. People on the Venezuela national team, Barnabas Agger being part of Ghana's track and field team in the Paris Olympics. It's just crazy to me that we get these athletes to come to Hattiesburg. Not to say there's anything wrong with Hattiesburg and it's a tough sell, but it's incredible to me that these coaches are able to pull this kind of talent and showcase them.
Well, it just, again, I think we're so close to it sometimes that we, when we step back and realize what the William Carey University name, what that Crusader Shield, the kind of weight it carries on a national level because of the championships, because of what this program has done. And that's what Coach McKenzie talked about. If you build it, they will come. They've built it to the point where, you know, a lot, and we won't get into all that, but a lot of people are paying attention, maybe too much attention to the program, but they're going to continue to develop talent and bring in talent. But with the current climate of the portal era and so forth, you do have to recruit almost nonstop. I mean, it never ends.
I mean, you see even at the Division I level for the NCAA, people are having to recruit their own rosters.
Sure.
To keep them there. And you know, you have less of that problem in the NAIA unless you have really good superstars, which, you know, Carey's got to kind of defend their turf too. We'll get too deep into that. But it's incredible, but not in a great way, what college athletics has kind of turned into as far as how you have to keep a team together long term.
Well, and when you're not at every school that you go play for, are you playing for a Steve Knight, of a Coach Hallford,
a
Coach Fletcher, of a Coach English, of a Coach Farrell, of a Coach Owens? I mean, just the caliber of coaches, the length of coaches, is something we haven't talked about in a couple of months. Their resumes, the type of just, and I can say this from experience now of having gone through it for an entire cycle, to be around those teams, to be around those teams on the road, to be around those teams at the team hotel, practices, dinners, just the atmosphere of the program is second to none. And so it creates an environment that the guys want to be around. And that's what I just observed the guys' team and the ladies. So relaxed, so chill, and just matter-of-factly going about their business. Not too high, not too low, just went about their craft. They were never tight. And there wasn't, it was... And Coach Knight would talk about this. Sometimes I don't know if they're ready to play or not. But when you bounce the ball out there, oh, they were ready to go.
Yeah.
And even when he's like, are you listening? And then they can recite it. They may be staring at the ceiling or staring at the ground. They're listening to every word you say. There's a trust there too, right? Mm-hmm. There's expectations of what those coaches want. And if you don't toe the line, so to speak, then you're not going to be here. But with that said, the trust on both sides. They trust the game plan is going to be there, that the coaches can do their job. The resume proves it, and they do it year over year. On the same token, I see a lot of trust in these coaches for these players, that they are going to go out and execute and perform and handle their business and do it. And those players have given no reason for that not to be the case. There's extremely high expectations. When we get a couple of months down the road, I think there's going to be a lot of a reason to be really excited about men's basketball again. Women's basketball, if I was excited last year about women's basketball, I mean, I'm really, really excited to the point of, do I need to make sure that my schedule's open late February, early March? Could there be some traveling as you were traveling here in the last few weeks going up to Idaho? Do I need to be kind of keeping them up? Could I be traveling for one or multiple teams there? Because, again, these are special teams. And, of course, we know what the soccer program brings to the table, softball, baseball, what they bring to the table each and every year. They will reload. That is a fact. And so you can go on and on that thought. But William Carey, really impressive. And then when you bring people to Carey, when you get them on campus, that's essentially a new campus. That tornado, as awful as it was in the moment, what it has done for campus, that is a different campus. So that is as good looking of a campus as you'll see at that level. And I can't, when I talk to fans from other teams, they can't believe that Carey's still in the NAIA. And that's not to take anything away from the NAIA. Kerry loves the NAIA, loves the league, and performs so well in the league, and is one of the standard bearers for the league. But this is a team that has positioned themselves to be the top of the NAIA, which they are, and I'm interested to see, have they come out with the year-end rankings for all the sports yet?
They have for the SSAC, and the Crusaders have taken home the SSAC Commissioner's Cup for an eighth straight year.
Eight straight.
And it's against different competition. You know, we've seen a lot of teams cycle in and out of the conference. Sure. We're going to see Stillman and Middle Georgia State leave. Actually, they're done now. The athletics year is over. So they will not be back in our conference next year. There will be, I believe, two new teams, both from the state of Georgia, coming in. So, hooray, more Eastern teams, more travel for William Carey, more than likely. But it will be interesting to see if there are any well-rounded teams that enter this conference that can match what William Carey is able to do. Because, I mean, as you see, eight straight years of across-the-board high-level competition. And it's easy to see. Think about it. How far women's soccer, men's soccer, women's basketball, even the two golfs have done pretty well.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, tennis fared pretty well. Both were in the championship games. They lost to Middle Georgia State, but that team's no longer in the conference. You have...
So then who's your favorite to win next year? Depending on who comes into the league.
Yeah, but William Carey has to be tops.
Right.
It's been between Middle Georgia State and William Carey for the last few years, it seems. You could see baseball and softball continue their success on the diamond. William Carey baseball has come away with either a regular season title or conference title each of the last 4 years.
Well, and William Carey, they lose a ton of seniors in softball, but...
They lose a lot of baseball, too.
But you return Ryan Hornsby, return Schroeder. So you return lights out. There's no reason to not think that this is going to be an ERA that's sitting right around 2 for the year. So, when you're not giving up many, you have an expectation to win a lot of games. And we know that Kerry is going to be afforded the opportunity to schedule well, some big games early against high-ranked teams and big tournaments, an opportunity to certainly be positioned in the RPI, baseball the same. And so as long as they put it together as the year goes on, both of those teams will be back.
Yeah. And we haven't even mentioned volleyball. I'm going to be in their second year under Coach Rhonda Shirley. You saw how much of a turnaround that program made towards the end of the season.
She's extremely excited about recruiting. And something we haven't talked about on the air, you're going to be jumping back in with Clayton in soccer. I'm going to be moving more into volleyball full time come this fall. So we're kind of switching roles because of family responsibilities with the kiddos and the wives and the fam. And I've got another one coming in October. Good gracious. Only 17 years apart. And so it's going to be a wild fall. And I'm excited. Love volleyball. Love the scoring. I love the rally scoring. And so this volleyball team, recruiting was looking really, really good early on. And so you definitely want to mark some dates on your calendar to get out and see this volleyball program, because I don't even think the product's going to look the same as it did at the end of last year. So I think take that product at the end of last year, double it, and it'll be somewhere in that sphere. Championships will be the norm, will be the expectation of that program as well. So it'll be in the same profile.
Yeah, we saw a couple of years back, William Carey was competing at that conference level.
Sure.
For titles. We'd love to see them return to that. And I really think they have a chance to. Though they finished a little bit below 500 in the conference at the end of last year, you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt to think about what the latter half of the season looked like, as well as what injuries happened during the year as well. But there was a good bit of a streak going there. A couple of really good matchups. Kerry took down Mobile 3-2. They were able to topple Dillard on a Tuesday night 3-2 as well. Really good meeting with Tennessee Southern. Blue Mountain Christian, though, one of the better teams in the conference. That's a tough team to take down. North Mississippi's had volleyball, I feel like, for a little bit longer than some of our southern schools in the state, with a few cases notwithstanding.
Well, and is that not if they've got to pull heavily from the Belmonts of the world, Ingomar, some of volleyball powerhouses in Northeast Mississippi?
Yeah, they're definitely up there recruiting pretty well. And they are right there on the border of Tennessee as well. So you can pull in a little bit from that angle as well if there are some good powerhouses.
And I will say, and shifting gears to baseball, we saw Blue Mountain get into the tournament and then get their bid to the Nationals. And then with the emergence of some teams up in Northeast Mississippi, high school baseball-wise, Ripley and others, there were a lot of commitments to Blue Mountain. Mm. So Blue Mountain is going to be one of those teams that continues to climb. And so that'll add to strength of schedule. That'll add to RPI. They're continuing to add to the depth of the league in baseball. So watch out for Blue Mountain in baseball.
Yeah, Taylor's doing a good job up there recruiting and coaching, for that matter, getting his team to that national tournament this past year. And looking to make another run at that. Going to have to keep them on radar. This is not the Blue Mountain Christian of old.
No, not at all.
You could steamroll, very evidently, because Cary lost the series to the Toppers earlier in the year. All right, when we come back, we're going to look ahead on the calendar, see how far away are we from athletics being back live and in person in Hattiesburg as we continue with more summer editions of Crusader Talk. Last segment next.
Tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment of Crusader Talk with you here on this Monday. Man, been a good show. Talking to Clayton Rush and Ryan McKenzie. A little bit of summer programming for you. So we count things down until it's time for athletic competition yet again. Josh, I know it's going to fly by, but right now I'm just sitting on edge just waiting. I'm ready. I'm ready to be back behind the mic, not just in podcast form, but also calling live action.
You don't need a little more downtime? Just a little bit?
You know what? I do need a little bit, if we're honest. Just a little bit? Just a little bit. But I know we'll be back in the saddle again soon. I mean, we're going to be having not just William Carey. We'll have high school football as well.
Sure.
All of those things all intertwined together in one busy fall. It's great. You love the rush.
Yeah. No, and It gets here so quick. It gets here, it seems like, quicker and quicker every year. With everything we talked about, we didn't even mention with Clayton about the HFC and with the Gulf Coast League as well, with the ladies, with USL2 and then the GCPL. That's going to be fun. That's going to be going on this weekend. So Clayton and I will have a chance to get to work together again on Saturday. That's going to be a blast. But, you know, high school football, I think I've got a jamboree somewhere around the 15th of August on a Thursday night. So we're a little over 2 months away. So we're about 10 weeks out from actual, you know, I mean, it won't count, but there will be two teams lining up for a short amount of time all night, you know, putting on the pads, getting dress rehearsal, if you will, on August 15th. So it kind of feels like week zero of high school football with some of these big jamborees. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, should be. You know, you were telling me something before we jumped on mic tonight about how you were traveling with your dad just around Hattiesburg, and you got to circle around Cary's campus. Tell us a little bit about that conversation y'all had about what y'all were able to see out there.
Well, you know, I mentioned to him, I said, well, you want to go see campus? And we were coming up 49 from the coast, and he said, yeah, let's go by there. He said, now they got that really nice big sign, and you know, and so we're driving in and we're seeing where they're going to redo, and we're circling back to the left towards coming into campus from 49 with soccer on the left. And of course, we took the right at the three-way stop. And when we just kind of went slow, you see all the construction to your left. Then you see Clinton Gym. Then right to your right, you're seeing Joseph and Nancy Fail Field. You're seeing Milton Wheeler. And we actually circled back. I said, Dad, no, turn. He said, I can turn in. I said, yeah, pull in. I said, look. I said, that's not bleacher seating. That's bricked chair back seating. I was like, this is as good as anything in the country at this level of baseball and softball. And then we kept going. You could see all the big new central hubs of campus, so to speak. We go a little further. And I said, yeah, volleyball's coming. He said, I didn't know it went down this far. And I said, well, yeah, the plan is they're going to buy up all of this land. They're going to buy all of these lots. This campus is going to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. So there's really, I don't even know you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, talking about not being able to recognize the place. Because it's really been impressive to see how they've been able to kind of, I'd love to see a new aerial view of campus with, you know, high res, something taken professionally, so to speak, not Google Earth, but to be able to see all the fields, baseball, softball, it just see all of that and to see how it continues to morph. It's impressive. And it's certainly worth the trip for people that haven't been back in there in a while. They won't recognize the place.
And soon they're going to have those different struggles of, you know, like Southern Miss and Mississippi State of parking. Going to have to start building parking garages to get everybody to fit in there for all the athletic venues and student enrollments and all that fun stuff.
Sure, those aren't cheap. And I know that if you can monetize it, if you're able to get, you know, the parking passes and where people get their parking passes and be able to do that, and you can build a 4 or 5 level garage, you can make it work. But yeah, can't go out anymore. You have to go up. That'd be a great, great problem to have. I can't believe how fortunate we are to be able to do what we do in terms of hosting regionals. And I love, I don't know about you, but I love playing host. I love talking to these coaches, these players. I love talking to these fans. Just during the course of the season, it's their favorite road trip, that which brings me a lot of pride. And then knowing that you've got people coming from across the country in California that played, Jessup played for the national championship, and they were absolutely eating it up, from the hospitality to the food to, you know, teams going to the zoo, taking in all of that now. Depending on the year and depending on when it all opens, teens will be going to the zoo, taking in Serengeti Springs. They're just going to be doing all the stuff around Hattiesburg.
Yeah. Speaking of things to do in Hattiesburg, just a couple of university notes here. Coming up this summer from July 11th through the 27th, William Carey's Dinner Theater presents, get this, Waffle House the Musical. Did you hear about this?
No.
Waffle House the Musical.
This is fantastic.
Carey Dinner Theater's 50th anniversary, they're going to be having again, Waffle House the Musical at Tatum Theater. Reservations are open July 1st. You can call the office at 601-318-6221 at any time between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. To try to get tickets for that. And also this weekend on Friday at 10:30 a.m., there will be a celebration of what would have been Dr. Ralph Nunkester's 100th birthday. I'll be in the president's meeting room Friday, June 14th at 10:30 a.m.
Waffle House the Musical.
Hey, looking forward to it. All right, real quickly before we run out of time, upcoming countdowns. We're 10 weeks away from both volleyball and soccer getting their seasons underway, 20 weeks away from basketball. It'll be here before we know it.
It will be. I'm ready.
I'm ready as well. All right, our thanks to Clayton Rush and Ryan McKenzie for joining us earlier. For our producer, Dalton Stanford, and my co-host, Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.